2 Corinthians chapter 5, a very familiar verse of Scripture, but I think it will give you a real help to expand on what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and that's not gender specific. All of us are included here. You know, John 1:12, right? To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not gender specific. And same here. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Tonight we're going to talk about old things and new things in your life when you become a new creature in Christ. Okay? Because here it says the old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. And for many of us, some of the old things of our old life dropped off very quickly after we were saved, after we became a new creature. They're just, you know, any variety of things that you might have been dealing with, the Lord just started taking out of your life. Or you started walking away from in your life. And new things began. You weren't going here anymore. You started, you know, over there, you started coming to church here. And that just very started happening like that. But, you know, there are other old things in your life that have stuck around. You know, and I realize that's because we're still in this flesh. But those old things that stuck around continue to be a problem for us in this flesh. And some of those things you really want out of your life. And you're trying to deal with them. And it's not easy. When you're dealing with the old things in your life that are hard to change, you can help them pass away by replacing them with new things. In other words, if all of your attention is just, I got to get this out of my life, I got to get this out of my life, I got to get this out of my life, you might find it a struggle to get this out of your life. But if your approach is, I got to get this thing out of my life by putting this new thing in my life, then you might find that you're actually able to move the old thing because the new thing replaces it. It's a better approach to dealing with some of those old things. And so instead of just striving to get the old things out, strive to get the new things in to replace the old things. And try that approach. And you're going to find, I believe, that it will help you, because sometimes I think what happens is if we just keep saying, I got to quit doing this, I got to quit doing this, we're magnifying the thing to be bigger than it is already by giving so much attention to it. Okay, so what I'm going to do is magnify a new thing that will replace the old thing, recognizing the old thing has to go. Now, it helps when you're doing this to be able to identify what the Bible calls the old thing that you're trying to get out. And I've just found in my own life, when you can find the Bible word that addresses the aspect of your life that needs to change, the reason that it's good to be able to call it what the Bible calls it is that generally then you will also find the new thing that will replace the old thing, because that's what the Bible will call the new thing. In other words, you can find the offset. There's the old thing, here's the new thing. I'll give you an example. Ephesians 5:18. Here's the example. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Can you identify the old thing in that passage? Drunk. Can you identify the new thing in that passage? Filled with the Spirit. All right. If I get filled with the Spirit, you know what I'm not going to be doing? Getting drunk anymore, because I have found something new to replace something old. And actually, when you're filled with the Spirit, you're as much under the control of the Spirit as you were under the alcohol when you're drunk, but you don't get a hangover, so you like it better. You see? And so it's kind of like the letter we read about the ladies getting saved in the rehab center when they have the Holy Spirit now inside to replace whatever addiction they had inside. They can make more traction and have more lasting results because there's something there new to replace something that was there old. It's better than just saying I'm a recovering addict or a recovering alcoholic because the recovery is now in the Holy Spirit. So it's a change. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. Look with me. You know this passage that we've looked at for our text well enough. You don't need to stay there. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll show you another passage of Scripture that makes it very plain. Here's the old thing. Here's the new thing. And it really helps that you can see the new thing that is there to replace the old thing. So in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See that? Put off the old, put on the new. See it? It doesn't just say put off the old and see how you do. It says put off the old, put on the new. And then he starts giving you some examples of the replacement. Verse 25, quit lying, start telling the truth. There they are together. You see them? All right, here's another one. Be angry and sin not. He's going to deal with anger a little bit later in more. Verse 28, quit stealing, start working. Verse 29, no corrupt communication out of your mouth, but that which is good. Replace the corrupt communication with good, right? Verse 31, get the bitterness, wrath, anger, and all that stuff out. And instead, verse 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. See that? Get out the old, put in the new. And I have found when you're dealing with things like anger or bitterness, if you get the kind, tender-hearted forgiveness in, it goes away. Right? So this is what we want. Now these are obvious, and because they're obvious, I don't think I'm talking to drunks here tonight. I think, you know, we got some spirit-filled people here. I don't think we got too many people here flying off the handle, getting angry, probably maybe none. We got some people that are kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, at least around here, thank God. I have to say that because I know the name of a deacon in another church who literally in the foyer got crossways with some other guy in the church over something, and I mean, he flattened him, boy, pop, right in the kisser and just cold-cocked him right on the floor. Well, amen, there you go. Out with the old, in with the new, right? So you know, a lot of these characteristics of the new are apparent with these things. Not recognizing any liars around here, mostly speaking the truth. But there are some things that you deal with, and I'm going to give you an example of a few, that might be a little bit harder to discern. And I only want to give you these ideas because these ideas may address something going on in your life, or might give you an idea. I can hunt around and find that old thing by name, and then I'll go around here and hunt around and find the new thing by name, and I'll get the exchange made and watch God make the improvement. Okay? These are not as obvious, let's say, as what you find in Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5. All right, here's one, covetousness. Now, I know covetousness is a problem because we live in that day and age. I don't want to go there because I have it and I don't want you to know that I've got that problem. No. Covetousness. What is covetousness? Covetousness in the Bible is called idolatry, but basically it is wanting what you don't have. That's covetousness. Wanting what you don't have. And it could be an ATV. It could be a jet ski. It could be a bigger house. It could be another spouse. It could be better kids. I don't know what it is. But it's something that eats on you, okay? So what am I going to do with this thing going on in my life? And the offset in the Bible, the new thing in the Bible, is contentment. Not covetousness, but contentment. That's the offset. What is contentment? Contentment is satisfaction with what you do have. So if I'm having trouble with covetousness over something, then I'm sitting here upset because I don't have what I want. And what that's causing me to do is neglect the appreciation for the things that I do have. And so if I come over here and begin to become content with what I do have, I suddenly don't want what I don't have. And so contentment is the new thing that offsets or replaces the old thing, which is covetousness. And in Colossians, he said, mortify therefore those deeds of the flesh. And what did he say? Covetousness, which is idolatry. It's one of the first things on the list. He said to get out of there. So contentment replaces covetousness, and the desire to have what you don't have goes away. Because I like what I got. And so, that's something that you work on. That's the new thing that replaces the old thing. Okay? I'll give you another one. Concupiscence. You say, you know what? Are we really going to go there? What is that word? You know what concupiscence is? Okay, you can look it up. You know, ardent sexual desire or something like that. Here's the point. Concupiscence does not need action for satisfaction. Concupiscence is something in here that is a desire that finds a multitude of ways to satisfy itself with sin. Wicked imaginations. Why are we talking about this? Because we live in a society that is overwrought with this sin. But nobody calls it by name. So it could be by imagination. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 deals with that. It could be in heart desire. It could be in, you know, looking at things that you're not supposed to be looking at. So there's no what I say, action where you're going out to involve somebody else in the sin. You're just involved in it privately. And you know what? You look at this and go, man, I wish there was some way that I could get this. All right. In concupiscence, one thing that happens is with this desire, your heart is going out and following your eyes. I think Job mentioned that. The eyes are following the heart or the heart's following the eyes. But what's happening is there's a certain desire that is drawing your heart toward that thing and away from the Lord. And you're like, how do I get this thing under control? And I know the world would love to know. And you know what it is? Compassion. Not concupiscence, but compassion. Do you understand in compassion your heart goes out as well? All right, but in compassion, you are there to fulfill their need. In concupiscence, you are there to fulfill your need or want. You get it? Concupiscence to fulfill my want, compassion to fulfill your need. The heart is involved in either case, but one is very good with very good feelings associated with it. The other one, guilt and shame. All right, so if the heart wants to go out, let it go out in compassion. And what happens is the feeling derived from the compassion is better than the feeling that you tried to accomplish with concupiscence. It changes your whole relationship to other people. I'm not using you to get what I want. I'm here to give you what you need. Man, what a change. Taking out the old and putting in the new. So not covetousness, but contentment, not concupiscence, but compassion. All right, here's another one. Not complacency, but circumspection. You're like, oh, you're using all these big Bible words. They're good words. Not complacency, but circumspection. You say, what are you talking about? When you are not, I'm going to say it again because you're probably taking notes, not complacency but circumspection. When you are dealing with old things in your life that are hard to remove, sometimes you just say, you know what, I give up. That's just the way I am. And you decide to become complacent with that old thing in your life because you're tired of trying to get it out. And we've all been there with some things, old things in our lives. And it's like, I'm so sick of trying to deal with this. And so then you just tell somebody that's close to you that's affected by that, well, that's just the way I am, and that's just the way you're going to have to put up with it. And that's complacency. And complacency is not really satisfactory because that old thing is still around and it still crops up from time to time and it still becomes a problem. So what is the offset? What is the new thing? It is circumspection. And what is circumspection? Circumspection, well, you know, it's I've said it before, it's like looking at things from a bunch of different angles. But circumspection says, I'm going to keep looking at this thing from different angles until I can find the way to make the improvement in my life. I'm not going to, if the what I've been doing hasn't been working, I'll try something else. Try again, right? I think I can, and finally the train crests the hill. It's a thing in you that says, if new things are supposed to be here to replace old things, there has to be something that God has given me, right, to deal with this. I can't just give up because what I've been trying doesn't work. This is a very trite illustration, but since we've had comment about the gym tonight, the witnessing gym, because I've had rotator cuff surgery on my right shoulder and a impingement, I can't do an overhead press like this. I can physically do it, but then I pay for it with a great deal of pain for a long period of time and creating an injury. All right, so you get the idea. Well, then that means the muscles that you exercise with this can't be done. Not so. So what the trainer has done is he's devised other ways, like lying on my back and then pressing it up this way, that exercise the same muscles without creating the pain. Do you understand? A new way of approaching something for the same benefit. Circumspection says, I am not going to give up because what I've tried failed. I'll come at it from a different direction. Now, some of y'all, when you're trying to solve problems, have you ever just kept doing the same thing over and over and over again? You know how they say, huh? You get the same result. Doing the same thing over and over again, get the same result. You know what they say that is? That's insanity. You know, doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results. So go at it a different way. You don't have to be complacent with something going on in your life that you don't like and the people around you don't like. That's an old thing. Change it. But use circumspection. Come at it a different way. New thing. Okay? All right, so here's another one. By the way, circumspection gives you a way to get out of the complacency, and the benefit is that your new life is better than your old life. When you get it done, you're like, I like the outcome. This is better. All right, here's another one. Not haughtiness, but humility. All of us have to wrestle with me. I'm not talking about you have to deal with your pastor. I'm saying you got to deal with you. We all got to deal with I. Okay? And that can be haughtiness. Not haughtiness which exalts you now and debases you later, but humility which abases you now and exalts you in due time. That's what you want. So if you're having trouble with haughtiness, and you're like, I shouldn't be so proud. The fact that you're sitting here talking to yourself and telling you shouldn't be so proud is puffing you up even more. And instead, just quit doing that and say, I'm going to humble myself in this situation, and the next time she says that, I'm not going to get mad, or whatever the case may be. Humility replaces haughtiness and gives you a much better life as a new creature now with a much better hope at the end, because when you humble yourself now, God exalts you later. Haughtiness exalts you now and puts you down later, and you don't want to end that way. So what's the offset? If you're dealing with pride, humble yourself. That sounds so simple. It's the Bible remedy. It's the Bible remedy. And one more, I'll give you one more. Not fear, which discourages you in your battles, but faith. Not fear, but faith. Not fear, which discourages you in your battles, but faith, which strengthens you in your fight. When you are getting ready to confront something and you are scared about the outcome, or you're scared about the confrontation, or you're scared about facing it, you fold. We all do. That's what fear does. It paralyzes you. And so it discourages in your battles. You know, when Gideon was assembling the army for the fight against the Midianites, he had 32,000 men that showed up. And the Lord said, let the ones that are fearful go. 22,000 men left. Deuteronomy chapter 20 says the reason you get the guys out of there that have cowardice is that it's contagious. So, out they go. That just shows you the great majority of people. That's two-thirds of the army that split. The great majority of people have to deal with this in this room. There are just certain things you don't want to have to confront because you're afraid, all right? Fear will discourage you in your battle. So what do? You're just like, I'm just so afraid, I don't know what to do. Put that out and get faith from the Word of God. Faith will strengthen you in your fight. Faith dispels the fear and gives you the courage to face the old things that must pass away. And you can do it. You can do it. But you have to recognize the way out of that is faith, not I got to quit being afraid. Right? So that's how you just always remember, if I'm just struggling with something in your life, I gave you five little things there because these are common problems that we all have to deal with in some way, shape, or form. So you may be able to specifically apply something you've heard tonight. You'll go home and pour all the liquor out as soon as you get home. But, but it also gives you the idea, you know what, I've been really trying to get this other thing out of my life and I hadn't made any progress and I now know what the problem is. I didn't go to find what it was called in the Bible. Once I find it, I can find the new thing to replace it. I'm going to start putting the new thing in and the old thing will go away. That's how he did it and that's how we do it. Amen. Father, we're very thankful for a little instruction tonight to help us in our walk with you. We sure love you and we sure thank you for the clarity of your instructions and the words of God. Help us, dear Lord, tonight to be faithful to your words. For Jesus' sake, for it's in his name I pray. Amen.